You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 27 and verses 23 and 24. As we continue in our series, Questions and Answers, Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 and 24. Solomon writes, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." And let's pray. Lord, I pray you, thank you for your word, and I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, where we are as Fox River Church, and especially where we are as individual Christians and believers as part of this church, especially in these last days. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. My first year of ministry up here at Fox River, 1994, I got asked to do a graveside service for a guy I didn't know and who didn't have any family members or friends at all. At a really, really old cemetery, a cemetery so old, even the old people back in Fox River back then didn't know where it was. And this was long before the days of GPS. So the funeral director gave me some directions, told me to meet him there at 11 a.m., and of course, I got lost. I got lost so bad at one point I thought I was even hearing banjo music. But then all of a sudden I found the place. Hour late, hearse was already gone, and the only people left were two workers sitting on the edge of the open grave eating their lunch. And I could see that the lid had already been placed on the vault. But I felt so guilty about being late, even though there was only a couple people there. I gave it everything I had. I read scripture. I preached a full-blown funeral sermon. I even sang Amazing Grace all by myself. And when I was done, I was turned and walking away. I heard one of the workers say to the other, "I've been putting in septic tanks for 30 years. I've never seen anything like that before in my life." I got the wrong place. I didn't know where I was. People, I didn't know where I was. And sadly enough, that not only happens to pastors, it also happens to entire churches. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do to make sure it doesn't happen to Fox River. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series for the new year called Questions and Answers, looking at all kinds of questions that God is asking us so we can be the kind of church that we need to be in these last days when it matters the most. Last week we looked at the question, who are we at Fox River Church? And today we look at the question, where are we at Fox River Church? And to see that, we turn today to Proverbs chapter 27 and verses 23 and 24. In this part of Proverbs chapter 27, King Solomon is comparing churches to flocks and herds of sheep. And in our text today, he tells us we better know where those churches are and what's going on with them. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we really want to be that kind of church that we need to be in the last days, we've got to know where Fox River's at too. Our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 and 24, tells us three answers to that question, where are we at Fox River Church? And let's look and see what those three answers are. The first thing we see from this text, the first answer to that question, where are we at Fox River? This church is in a place of blessing. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 23. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, where are we? We're 2785 East US 52 in Sheridan, Illinois, 60551. Kevin, did your mom take Tylenol when she was pregnant with you or something? What is your name? How many fingers am I holding up? But it's hard for me to know where I am. Because for 32 years, I've had a Marsales address, a Sheridan phone number, Rutland School District, Serena Fire Department, and I live south of Norway. I get lost when they change the layout at Walmart. Holy Twilight Zone people, where are we? Now, I may not know where I am half the time, but I do know where this church is. Fox River Church is in a place of blessing. Amen. Verse 23, know the condition of your flocks, pay attention to your herds. You got to know where your people are. You got to know where your sheep are. Because sheep get lost real easy. And they got to be led to food and to shelter and to water because they're sheep. They're not free-range chickens. And sheep don't have any natural defenses. So if you don't watch your sheep, you don't take care of your sheep, they're going to get torn up by wolves. Back in 1947, a little 9-year-old boy named Charlie started going to a Christian school in Terre Haute, Indiana. Then he started wearing dresses to that school because his drunk, drug-addicted mom forced him to wear dresses to shame him and humiliate him. But in spite of that, not one of the 27 Christian teachers in that church ever asked him why or what was going on in his house. They just always turned and looked the other way. So, of course, little 9-year-old Charlie grew up to be Charles Manson. You got to tend your sheep. You got to know who your sheep are. You got to know where your sheep are. And that word know there in verse 23 literally means to look your sheep in the face, to see them, and to really understand who they are, and to get involved in their lives. Not just have them on the church directory in your phone. What about this sheep here? This woman buried her husband last June. How many of y'all realize you don't get over that right away? Anybody know where this sheep is right now? Because I know what the tendency is. I have it too. You just go on to the next person with the next crisis. Where's this sheep at right now? You got to know where your sheep are. And this command isn't just for pastors. It's for every single person in this church. Because what does the bulletin say here at Fox River? Who is the minister? Every member of Fox River congregation. You got to know where your sheep are. This guy gets it. Every Sunday morning, he comes here, and before church starts, he's working the crowd, meeting and greeting people, sending the message, you're important to me, and you're important to this church. Have you seen your grandbaby? What college are you going to? How'd the MRI turn out? Did you make your daughter's wedding? Tending sheep. Last Sunday, June the 22nd. 31-year-old Brian Browning, Wayne, Michigan, drove his Nissan pickup truck right up next to Cross Point Church, jumped out with body armor and a 5.56 and started shooting people in that church through the windows. Then all of a sudden, a security team member at that church, a guy named Jay Trombley, heard the shooting, ran around the building, saw Brian Browning, and shot him in the head and killed him on the spot. You want your church to be a place of blessing, you've got to take care of your sheep. You've got to know where your sheep are. And sadly enough, too many pastors and too many Christians today don't care about their sheep. Don't care where they're at. They don't even like them. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. Kevin, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Well, Jesus doesn't hate the church. Jesus loves the church, warts and all. So how in the world can you say you love Jesus if you hate his body, if you hate his bride? Well, Kevin, I go to church, but I hate the worship music. I just go for the sermon. Well, then you're going to have a really hard time in heaven, aren't you? Amen. Well, I don't go to church. I just stay home and watch it online. Okay, the next time your church has a big potluck dinner, just stay home and watch it online. We'll see how much you feel fed. Pastors don't care about their sheep. They don't care about their churches. I met a pastor at a retreat one time who told me he never answered his phone after 10 o'clock at night. What? If somebody from your church is calling you after 10 o'clock at night, you better answer that phone because that person really needs to talk to you. What do you think they're paying you for? We had an assistant pastor here one time who set up his office by putting his desk right by the front door. See, separating him from you. And he put a couple of chairs in front of his desk that were lower than his, so he was always above you. And all the while the guy was here, I don't think he visited one single person. He just wanted to sit in his office and tell everybody else what to do. You want your church to be a place of blessing, you've got to know where your sheep are. Amen. And I'll tell you where Fox River is right now. Our sheep, we're in a place of blessing. Because does everybody realize what a unique place Fox River Church really is? This is a 187-year-old rural church, surrounded on three sides by cornfields, and yet the vast majority of the people who come to this church are not farmers. Go figure. And Fox River Church shouldn't even be here, because every church in America that's over 100 years old shouldn't have any people left, shouldn't have any money left. Shouldn't have enough music people to even put on a worship service. But here at Fox River, we've got people coming from 17 different zip codes. We got more money we know what to do with. And our praise band is better than Bethel Music and Elevation Worship put together. Blessings. We see the blessings in this church. What other church can you come to on a Sunday morning and be greeted by two guys in three-piece suits with Jerry Garcia ties? What other church has a secretary that can get people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues over the phone? What other church has a head of security who's a former Bravo Command Devil Dog Marine who knows 86 different ways to kill the enemy with his bare hands? You talk about feeling as safe as a baby in his mother's arms. Fox River Church is in a place of blessing. And why? Because there is just something about this church. Now, I didn't even want to be in ministry to start with. But God told me to go to seminary. Then in October of 1993, He told me to come up here and interview to be the pastor at Fox River Church. And I didn't want to come to this church because Sue and I had only been married for about 2 months. Came back for another meeting with the call committee in November. Came up here to the old church in December and preached a sermon. And then the congregation gave me a call letter and gave me until January 31st of 1994 to respond to it. And I had no idea what I was supposed to do. So finally, on February the 1st, one day after the deadline, the chairman of the call committee finally called me and said, Kevin, we need an answer, because if it's no, we need to move on to somebody else. And at that exact moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Kevin, don't miss out. And I had no idea what God meant, but He did. Because people, there is just something about this church. Because God blessed this church like crazy. We put up this building in 2006 and dedicated the property for the glory of Jesus Christ. Then we bought that field you see right out the window there to the east, that property to the east, and we dedicated that land to the glory of Jesus Christ. And after we did that, I started coming here on Thursday nights all by myself to do work when nobody else was here. And I shouldn't tell you this, but people know I'm crazy anyway. When I would come here on Thursday nights, every single Thursday night, while I was here by myself, there would be this white thing standing right out there in that field. This like glowing white thing for a little while every Thursday night that I was here. You say, well, Kevin, it was just reflection of the headlights. You know, cars coming from that direction. We're just shining the windows in that direction. No, because one night I actually went out there in that field and that thing was still there. Now, over the years, I have prayed away more demon spirits off this property than you could ever imagine. And every time I pray, they left. Every time I prayed about that white thing, it never left. And to this day, 19 years later, that thing is still there for a while every time I come here on Thursday nights. And over the years, I finally realized the reason that thing is there is because God wants it there. All night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord, all night, all day. Angels watching over me. There's something about this church. June 22nd, 2016, 18 different tornadoes ripped across northern Illinois. And one of them went right by this church. Sue and I were coming back from a graduation party in Watseka and heard on the radio that a tornado had started northwest of Earlville, touched down, and was headed straight for Sheridan and Fox River Church. But even though this church was right in the path, it never got touched at all. And why? Well, the very next day, a guy who lived just right over there called me and said he was standing on his back porch the night before and he could see the tornado in the flashes of lightning. And he said he saw that tornado traveling along the ground, but then right when it got close to Fox River Church, amazingly, miraculously, it lifted right back up into the sky, passed over top of our building, then just like that, touched down again, and then traveled all the way from north of Marseilles, clear to Seneca. Holy Wizard of Oz, people! There's something about this church! And over the years, we've had all kinds of people come forward for altar calls and pray to receive Christ and get saved up here. About 2.5 years ago, a woman came forward for an altar call. She said, God told me to get out of bed this morning, get dressed, go to Fox River Church, and get saved. She said, so I got out of bed, got dressed, I came here to Fox River Church, and now I'm here to get saved. And after she prayed to receive Christ, she said, I'm going to go back home and tell my husband so he can come here and get saved too. And guess what? She did and he did. People, there is something about this church, because 95% of churches in America, 95%, nobody ever gets saved. Nobody ever prays to receive Christ. There's all kinds of people who have come to this church over the years, not because they want to become a part of it, because they come from a church back home that is dead. And they've come to Fox River because they want to see what it looks like when the Holy Spirit moves people to get out of their seats and come forward for prayer. They want to see what it looks like when the Holy Spirit moves people to come forward to pray to receive Christ. And so that encourages them to go back to their home church and pray and keep seeking God so the same thing can happen back there. And we've had people like that come all the way from Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana and Southern Illinois and Danville and Bloomington. I could go on and on. Got this email just last Sunday. Pastor Kevin, we love your church. We are looking for a new church, but unfortunately, your church is almost an hour and 45 minutes from home. We are so disappointed in the current church we're members of. They're all about LGBTQ, and they even painted rainbows outside of the Sunday school classrooms. Every church in our area is about LGBTQ. Went to a Lutheran church recently and walked away feeling empty. Kevin, your church ruined it for all the others. I get so filled with the Holy Spirit when I listen to your live stream on Sundays. We came to your church one time and it was such an amazing feeling being in God's house with the Holy Spirit there. Thank you, Fox River. Thank you. And pray that what you have in your church can one day be in ours. Praise God. There is something about this church. And folks, it's got absolutely nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with the Lord. It was never luck. It was always God. And we do not take that for granted. God, please, please do not take your Holy Spirit from us. There is something about this church, and what it is the blessing of God. The first answer to that question, where are we at Fox River? We are in a place of blessing. We go on in this church, this text, we see a second thing. A second answer to that question, where are we at Fox River Church? We're not only a place of blessing, we're also in a time of challenge. And that's also what we see here in verse 24. Because all those blessings we just talked about are not guaranteed. Verse 24, riches do not endure forever. And a king's crown is not worn generation after generation after generation. Because things can change. And they often do. This church needs to change. Right now there's about 700 people who call Fox River their church. And except for a couple of interns and 6 years of an assistant pastor who only had one speed, I have pastored this entire church all by myself for 32 years. Or I tried to. But because of that, over the years, Fox River Church has become more like a preaching station where a bunch of people just come on Sunday mornings to hear a sermon. And the challenge is to turn Fox River into something else besides a preaching station where people just come on Sunday mornings to hear a sermon. But what makes it harder is where we're located. Now, a lot of people not from around here who watch our live stream, they keep thinking that Fox River is a mega church. Fox River is not a mega church. Fox River is a country church. Outside of a little dinky town called Norway. And the joke that the old Norwegians told me when I came here, Norway's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. Welcome to the middle of nowhere. So you come to Fox River Church, you're hardcore. Because the closest Walmart's 15 miles away. There's no mall out here, there's no grocery store, there's no coffee shop to hang out in. You come to Fox River, you're coming here on purpose, because there ain't nothing else out here. That's part of the challenge. This church is also located in the People's Republic of Illinois. And don't tell me that doesn't make a difference, because our call committee found all kinds of assistant pastors and all kinds of youth directors who'd have more than happily served in this church. They didn't want to live in this state. Because Illinois is so blue, it's purple. Worst state in America to start a small business in. Third worst state when it comes to property taxes. Second worst state in America to retire in. Number one sanctuary state in the entire United States for abortion and tourism abortion that you are paying for. Sanctuary state for so-called transgender kids being mutilated by Dr. Frankensteins. Sanctuary state for illegal aliens. Your governor, J.B. Pritzker, is spending $3 billion a year on illegal aliens, trying to use them to replace all the people who have already fled this state so we don't lose any more seats in Congress. And because he wants to be president of the United States so bad he can taste it. Illinois is the only state in America that now requires mandatory mental health screenings for all kids in public schools, 3rd through 12th grade. So Big Pharma can make even more billions of dollars doping up kids like a bear in the zoo. Illinois has a perfect name because living here makes you both ill and annoyed. So all you believers who don't think Christians should have anything to do with politics, you know the fastest way to decrease the size of your church? You know the fastest way to get people to leave your church? The fastest way to deaden every single outreach that you try? And proven over and over again by study after study after study, let your state go blue. And that's exactly what happened here in Illinois. This is where Illinois is. But you know what, Fox River, it doesn't really matter where Illinois is. The only thing that matters is where Fox River is. Because even though Illinois may be going to hell in a handbasket with all kinds of people who are depressed and hopeless and hating each other and killing themselves, the only thing that matters is who we are and where we are and what we're doing. Because right now we have the greatest opportunity since COVID and the lockdown to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Fox River, we are in it to win it. And the only question is, who's with us? That's the challenge that we have in front of us. We're living in a time of challenge because we're in a country today where everything holy and everything godly is being attacked. Over 2,500 churches and pro-life centers torched and firebombed in America over the last 5 years, and the mainstream media doesn't say one single word. See all the trolls who dressed up like dead Charlie Kirk for Halloween last year? White Charlie Kirk t-shirts with red stuff like blood coming out of their neck. These people have no soul. Last week, the United States Supreme Court actually had to argue with lawyers for the ACLU that there's a difference between a boy and a girl. The United States Supreme Court had to take that up and argue that. People, if that doesn't show you where our country is right now, I don't know what does. Last week, Senator Jared Hawley was grilling Dr. Misha Verma on the question of whether or not men can get pregnant. Here's part of that exchange.
Dr. Verma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
I hesitated there because I wasn't sure where the conversation was going or what the goal was. I mean, I do take care of patients with different identities. I take care of many women. I take care of people with different identities. And so that's where I paused. I think, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
Again, the reason I paused there is I'm not really sure what the goal of the question.
The goal is just to establish a biological reality. Can men get pregnant?
There are many women that can get pregnant. I do take care of people that don't identify as women. That
can men get pregnant?
Again, as I'm saying.
Let me do some.
People, no country can survive that kind of stupidity. And of course she knows that men can get pregnant, but she is so beholden to leftism and wokeism, she won't even say it out loud. Do we see the challenge? Do we see what we're up against? Do we see the attitude that we're up against? Fox River's in a time of challenge right now because we're living in a country that's got a spirit over it right now. The spirit of Antichrist. Last Monday, 37-year-old Renee Good interrupted an ICE operation on a street in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that happened.
Renee Good's last words.
That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you.
That's Good inside the SUV and her wife outside the vehicle talking to the ICE officer before the shooting.
I said, go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
Out of the car.
Another officer orders Good out of the SUV and she starts to drive.
Now, even though Renee Good and her partner had a 6-year-old son, they went through something called ICE disruption training, drove 5 hours to Minneapolis, and stalked and harassed and impeded ICE operations all morning that day. And when ICE officers finally got sick of it and walked over to her vehicle and ordered out, she refused. And even though there was an ICE agent with his gun drawn, pointed right at her, and she saw him right in front of her vehicle, she hit the gas and hit him so hard it caused internal bleeding. So he shot her and killed her. So Renee Good was not killed because all ICE agents are Nazis, like Governor J.B. Pritzker says. She was not killed because those ICE officers were undertrained. Renee Good was not killed because she was gay. She was killed because she interfered with an armed federal agent operation and hit a cop with her vehicle. You can't hit cops with your vehicles, people. And what's saddest of all, what in the world did she think she was doing? Who in the world did she think she was protecting? Because here's just a list of just some of the illegal criminals that those group of ICE agents arrested that day in that part of Minneapolis. An illegal from Somalia convicted of murder. An illegal from Mauritania guilty of double homicide. A Laotian illegal guilty of strong-arm sodomy of a boy and a girl under 13 years old. A Laotian illegal guilty of child rape. An illegal from Nicaragua guilty of murder. An illegal from Mexico guilty of multiple child rape. I could go on and on and on. What in the world did she think she was doing? You play stupid games, you get stupid prizes. And of course, because of that, all hell broke loose, and there's even worse protests against ICE agents all over the United States. Hear what they're saying in New York City?
ICE! Save all life! Kill and ICE! Save all life! Kill and ICE! Save all life! Kill and ICE! Save all life!
Kill and ICE, save a life. Folks, there are millions and millions of people in this country right now who are deceived by the devil because they hate God and they hate the Bible. They hate Christianity. They hate law and order. And they favor illegal murders and rapists over innocent American citizens. And they call good evil and evil good. That's the challenge. What are we supposed to do about it? Well, Tim Macklin is a pastor and also the former father-in-law of Renee Good, because at one time she was married to his son. Listen to what he said.
Becca, she's a great person as well. I mean, you know, I don't have any enemies. I love everybody. And that's what the Bible tells us. Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But, you know, I think there's some bad choices. And the word says for the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. And, you know, it's I don't blame us. I don't blame Rebecca. I don't blame Renee. I just wish that, you know, if we're walking the spirit of God, I don't think she would have been there.
Did you hear that? He pointed out that she did something wrong. She made a wrong choice. You step up with the truth and you point people to Christ. That's what the church needs to do. But let me tell you something. If you're going to do that, there's got to be something different about your church, because the vast majority of churches in America today would never do that at all. People, there's got to be something different about your church. I'm not a church growth expert. I don't get paid millions of dollars for consulting. Kevin Garner doesn't have his own YouTube channel telling other people how to do church. But after 44 years of ministry, I do know this. There's got to be something different about your church. Because if your church isn't any different than anybody else's, there's no reason why anybody would go to your church instead of somebody else's. There's got to be something different about your church. And obviously there's something different about Fox River Church. We got a family in this church that drives every single Sunday when they can from clear north of Wabansee College. And on the way here, they pass by dozens and dozens of other churches along the way. And why do they come here? I'll tell you why. Because there's something different about this church. They can get something here that they can't get in any of those other churches. We've got a guy in our church who drives 50 miles one way to be in this church on a Sunday morning. And he's got a church 5 minutes away from his house. He drives by that church, and the next 45 minutes he drives by dozens and dozens of other churches. And why does he do that? Because there's something different about this church. There's something that he can get in this church and he can't get in all the other churches. We got the Eichelberger family right here. Every single Sunday when they can, they drive all the way from Geneva, over an hour's drive to be here. And they pass by dozens and dozens of churches along the way to get here. And why do they come to this church? Because there's something different about this church. They can get something in this church that they can't get in any other churches. There's got to be something different about your church. So for the life of me, I can't figure out why all churches want to be the same. They all sing the same songs. They sing them all the same way. They have praise bands that look and dress the same. The pastor usually looks like he's about 12 years old with blue jeans and a flannel shirt and black rimmed glasses that he doesn't need but wears anyway because they think they make him look hot. There's no sermon because that would be too preachy. So it's called teaching. They have some focus-tested, cool-sounding church name like Fusion or Elevation or Revolution or Journey or some Greek word that some staffer learned in Bible college like Agape or Ekklesia. Just another suburban church. You've seen one, you've seen them all. And there's constant appeals for money because the church is always in debt. But Fox River Church is different because we got the best praise band in the history of the world. Because they do all kinds of songs. No costumes, no acting, no performance, just worship. All killer, no filler. And the name of our church is Fox River. Because we're close to the Fox River. How cool is that? And nobody asked you for money here, ever. There's no QR code in the bulletin that you're supposed to scan so you can give money with your phone. There's people who have come to this church, it's 2 or 3 months before they figure out how to even give any money. Because we don't even tell them where the collection boxes are. Like we don't want people's money at all. Like I dare you to even try to give us something. There's something different about this church. What's different about this church is the message. Because we preach Bible prophecy here. Because Bible prophecy is exploding out of the Bible all over the world. And we see the fulfillments happening all over the world. There's something different about this church. There's something different about this church because there are men here. Right now there are 13 million more women than there are men in the church in America. So most churches it's 2-to-1, 3-to-1, even 4-to-1 women to men. Here at Fox River there's men all over the place. And why? Because the pastors, because the guest speakers, the elders, the council members talk like men. And they act like men, and they talk to men, and they call men to be men of God, and not pajama boys or male impersonators like Governor Tim Walz. We've got ministries here for men. Jack Teamy runs a men's prayer breakfast every month. We've got a man cave class that meets every single Sunday morning for Sunday school. Last October, we had a bro night for men, because this church still has a heart for men and has not abandoned men. There's something different about this church. What's different about this church is the sermons. 14 miles in that direction is a seeker-sensitive church with pastors who are disciples of Joel Osteen. 14 miles in that direction is another seeker-sensitive church. It never mentions Bible prophecy because they're afraid it'll weird somebody out. 14 miles in that direction is a seeker-sensitive church that never once mentions LGBTQ because they're afraid it'll make somebody uncomfortable. 30 miles in that direction is a church who hides behind a pastor who hides behind his trans-exempt status so he never has to speak up about political issues. Fox River has people from every single one of those churches in our church. Why? Because there's something different about our church. Because they can get something in this church that they can't get in any of those other churches. Now, we call people to salvation and we see people saved here at Fox River too. But we also speak out according to God's word on all kinds of issues and what's happening in this country and what's happening in the world. Issues that people have to deal with every single day of their lives. Because what most pastors don't realize, you can use those issues to lead people to Christ. Here's two letters that I got just last month. Dear Pastor Garner, just want you to know that my husband and I prayed to receive Christ after your sermon about the death of Charlie Kirk. Hearing you talk about those issues made us get serious about where we really stood with the Lord, and we realized we were never really saved. We've been in churches our entire lives, but the Holy Spirit spoke to us in a way that we finally heard. Thanks and praise to God, and thanks to Fox River Church for leading us to Christ. Praise God for that. Here's another one. Dear Fox River, we are praising God for your live stream because our 19-year-old son just got saved after watching your sermon about Jesus healing the blind man. In that sermon, you talked about Barron Trump, and that made him want to listen to the rest of the sermon. At 13 years old, our son got mad at God and lived like hell for 6 years to try to get back at him. But that all changed when he finally gave his life to Christ. Thank you for your church's ministry because it has changed our family forever. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, people. There's got to be something different about your church. There's something different about Fox River Church. And the challenge for this church in the future is to keep it different. So the blessings keep coming. The second answer to that question, where are we at Fox River Church? Fox River Church is in a time of challenge. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third answer to that question, where is Fox River Church? We're not only a place of blessing, we're not only in a time of challenge, but we're also in the time of the end. We are in the last days. And that's also what we see here in verses 23 and 24. Because too many people today don't have a clue where they really are or what time it really is. So for all the learning impaired, there's the time chart for the end times timeline. Everything the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. And where are we right now? We are right where that red dot is. Right at the end of the church age, right before the start of the Great Tribulation. So Fox River is not just this nice little church where a nice little pastor preaches nice little sermons to nice little Christians about how nice we are and about how much nicer we should be. We proclaim the oracles of God to warn people about the hell that's coming during the Great Tribulation so we can call them to repentance so they can get saved and raptured out of here before the trouble really starts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. But a lot of people don't believe that. And because of that, right now, they're trying to steal away your hope in the pre-tribulation rapture. And you know what the latest scam is? They're claiming right now that we are in what's called Satan's little season. Revelation chapter 20 tells us about the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. 7 years after the rapture, Jesus wins the battle of Armageddon. He takes the Antichrist, the devil, and the false prophet, and he casts them into hell for 1,000 years. And there really will be peace on earth, goodwill to men for real, because Jesus will be ruling out of the city of Jerusalem over the whole wide world. But then Revelation chapter 20 verse 3 says, after the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released for a little time. King James Version, for a little season. And Satan will go out and round up all the malcontents and all the enemies of God for one final attack against the Lord and his people. But Revelation chapter 20 verse 9 says at that point, God will send fire out of heaven and barbecue every single one of them. Then this great white throne judgment and everybody goes to heaven or hell based on the decision they made about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But the heretics today are claiming that that's not true. And they're claiming today that that end times chart you see there is nothing but a lie, that it's a joke. Because they're claiming there is no great tribulation. There's no Antichrist. There's no mark of the beast. It's all symbolism. There's no two witnesses. There's no 144,000. There's no battle of Armageddon. No signs to look for at all. Just all of a sudden one day Jesus is going to come back, fight one round with the devil, and then it's off to heaven or hell. So they say that right now we're living in that Satan's little season. Where the devil is out gathering up all the people to fight against God for that final battle. After the millennium is over. But my question, if that's true, if the millennium's already happened, when did it happen? 2016, when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series? Then when were the other 999 years of the 1,000 years? Folks, if there really was actual peace all over the entire world, I think I would have remembered that. And if we really are in Satan's little season right now, where's all the Christians camped around the city of Jerusalem, reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 20, verse 9? Well, they're not there. And they're not here because Satan's little season isn't here yet. Now, it's coming, but what's coming next is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Christians, don't let them steal away your blessed hope with amillennial claptrap and another attempt by the devil to get people to take the mark of the beast. These last days, we're really going to find out who knows the Bible and who doesn't, aren't we? We know we're in the end times because all the signs are there. Because the dispensations overlap. And right now the next one is coming in over top of ours. So we're already seeing signs of the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist. Today there's something called smart e-pants. Like smarty pants. Electronically powered and networked textiles. E-textiles, e-clothes, smart clothes. That have scrungible batteries and transmitters woven into the fabric. So now even your clothes are going to spy on you. And manufacturers say within 5 years, all clothes are going to be made exactly the same way. So even if you don't have a phone, Big Brother will still be able to track you down and control every move you make through the clothes that you're wearing. Good luck living off the grid. Remember growing up? When every year somebody would come to school and take your picture, school pictures. So the companies they worked for had a historical record of your face from the time you were 5 until you were 18 years old. Well, the question is, who has those pictures? And what are they doing with them? Well, for years and years, a company called LifeTouch owned half of all school pictures in America and 1/4 of all school pictures in the world. But back in 2018, they got bought out by a company called Shutterfly for $825 million. But then the very next year, facial recognition technology went through the roof. So that company was bought by something called Apollo Global Management for $2.7 billion. So they had your pictures. And who's the two biggest shareholders in Apollo Global Management? That would be BlackRock and Vanguard, who are about everything, one world government and Mark of the Beast system. Folks, Vanguard and BlackRock own practically everything now. And now they also own an historical record of your face and your picture. And who's the biggest shareholder in Vanguard and BlackRock? That would be Palantir, the most evil corporation in the world today. Right now, Palantir is putting together a database file on every single one of us, every single American, every single person living in this country. And because of that, 2 years ago, they bought a company called Clearview AI, a facial recognition company, a company that has been sued buku times for stealing facial images without people's consent to fill up their AI data files. So it's Clearview AI that owns all your school pictures. And what are they doing with them? Right now, they are using them to create the Mark of the Beast system, a massive global surveillance system that will track you down and control every single move that you make. Do we see how close we are to the end? And do you know whose pictures they don't have? People who didn't go to a public school. People who were homeschooled. So what's happening right now? What's the United Nations doing? Last month, they're calling on every member nation of the United Nations to do whatever they can to outlaw homeschooling in every country of the world. You don't think this is planned? You don't think this whole thing is coordinated? Folks, in these last days, you got to be sure that you're in a church, that you're in a Bible-believing church that will tell you about this deception. You got to be in a church that you know you can trust to tell you the truth about the last days. Because let me ask you, if it's not a church, who can you trust? Turning Point USA? Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk did all kinds of good things. They lifted up Christ. They shared the gospel. They changed the hearts and minds of millions and millions of young people all over the United States. They got people saved. Turning Point USA helped President Donald Trump win the 6 swing states in the 2024 election. After Charlie Kirk died, Turning Point USA installed Turning Point USA chapters in thousands and thousands of grade schools and colleges all over America. This coming February the 8th, Super Bowl Sunday, Turning Point USA is offering America an alternative halftime show for all the Americans who don't want to see Bad Bunny and soft porn. Turning Point USA has done all kinds of good things. But have you noticed what Turning Point USA has done lately? Because I don't think it's the same organization it was when Charlie Kirk was alive. A lot of things have changed, and it's like there's a battle going on for control of it. Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's wife, has changed. That's what her eyes look like after Charlie Kirk died. That's what Erica Kirk's eyes look like now. So it's not just grief. It's anger. For heaven's sakes, Erica Kirk, blink twice if you're in trouble. And there was Erica Kirk at their annual conference, Turning Point USA America Fest 2025, held in Phoenix, Arizona last December. 35,000 people there. And notice what Erica Kirk said to one of the volunteers at Turning Point USA when he was receiving an award. Listen to what she said.
Despite the devastating loss of Charlie Kirk, my incredible husband at UVU, Caleb has persisted with the same grit. It has been a long day.
She said grifter. Why in the world would she say grifter? Like there's people grifting on Turning Point USA organization, $250 million organization. Is there somebody trying to steal that organization away from her? And at AmFest 2025 was also singer Nicki Minaj. She was there speaking up for persecuted Christians in Nigeria. But listen to what Nicki Minaj says about Vice President J.D. Vance.
See, dear young men, you have amazing role models like our handsome, dashing president. And you have amazing role models like the assassin J.D. Vance, our vice president.
Assassin? Like Vice President J.D. Vance was responsible for having Charlie Kirk assassinated? Why did she use that word? Now, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it's strange. So, Kevin, you're saying that Vice President J.D. Vance had Charlie Kirk assassinated, and Turning Point USA had Charlie Kirk assassinated again. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it's strange. And Erica Kirk and J.D. Vance have always had a really special relationship. But notice the song they played when J.D. Vance was introduced at AmFest 2025. Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress, a song by the Hollies in 1971. But for the Vice President of the United States, of all the songs they could have played for the Vice President of the United States, like God Bless America or God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood, they played Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. And why does that matter? Because for the last 5 years especially, we found out that everything matters. Everything means something. Remember the dress that Erica Kirk wore when she met with President Trump after her husband was killed? A black dress? The long, cool, beautiful woman in a black dress? You know what the lyrics to that song are? I saw her heading to the table, a tall, walking, big black cat. Charlie said, I hope that you're able, boy, because I'm telling you she knows where it's at. Well, suddenly we hear the sirens and everybody started to run, jumping under doors and tables. I heard somebody shooting a gun. Does that remind you of anything? A long, cool woman in a black dress, a man named Charlie gets shot at a table and everybody's running. The man who's the assassin is going to take the long, cool woman. Doesn't make sense at all, does it? Unless it means what you think it does. It gets even worse because Turning Point USA is all about flashing lights and sparklers and fireworks because Charlie Kirk was really into that stuff. And Jack Posobiec was one of Charlie Kirk's best friends and another honcho of Turning Point USA. I've listened to Jack Posobiec many, many times on the radio. But notice when Jack Posobiec was introduced at America Fest 2025, look at what you saw on the stage. There's Turning Point's old logo. This looks like a half circle, an arrow in the shape of a half circle. There's what the logo looked like on that stage. Like an arrow that starts out on earth, goes up to heaven, and then just comes back to the point where it starts pointing down to earth again. Like, as above, so below. The slogan for witchcraft. And notice what happens in the background of the stage when Jack Posobiec is introduced in the video. Don't pay attention to flashing lights that are trying to distract you. Notice what you see on the stage when Jack Posobiec is introduced. Right in the middle.
We are going to crank the volume all the way up. One of the most powerful words in the English language is the word no. Look at the Turning Point events that get bigger and bigger and larger every year. No one is above the law.
A pentagram inside of another pentagram inside of another pentagram. Three five-sided figures. Three fives, five, five, five. That's the number of death and destruction and the New World Order. Next picture. And it gets even worse than that. Because what do you see in the middle of those pentagrams? It is a black figure with a halo on his head. With how many rays of light coming out from him? 13. 13, the number of the devil and the Antichrist. Folks, that black figure in the middle of that triple pentagram, that's the devil. That's Baphomet. Inside of a triple pentagram, meaning like it's like a portal, like a gateway opening to the other world. And in that video, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger until it swallows up the entire crowd. People, what in the world is going on with Turning Point USA? And again, don't let the flashing lights distract you because somebody is telling you there what their intentions are. Back to the other picture. Previous picture. There's the logo they had for their event. Notice it's an American flag. But notice it's cut off. So instead of 50 stars, you only see 33. The magic number for Freemasonry. And to top it off, there's Jack Posobiec holding up Catholic rosary beads. Because Jack Posobiec and Erica Kirk and Benny Johnson, all the real honchos at Turning Point USA, are hard school, old style Catholic. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, you are absolutely crazy. Turning Point USA doesn't have anything to do with demonism. It doesn't have anything to do with the devil or portals or 555 or New World Order. It doesn't. Then why did they take that video off their official website so nobody could ever see it again? So, Kevin, you're saying that Turning Point USA is totally demonic. I am not saying that. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it's weird. There's what Erica Kirk said towards the end of that conference.
For those of you who attended the memorial service, that revival is a slice of heaven that I'm going to make sure we take around this whole entire country. So we have different tour stops that are going to be coming up that I want you guys to be aware of. Feel free to take a picture whenever they put it up there. But if you're in any of these cities, we are bringing that to you. I also want to note that our church partnership since 9/10, we have over 8,000 church partnerships and counting.
So Erica Kirk announced that Turning Point USA is now partnering with over 8,000 different churches and counting to take the revival that happened after the death of Charlie Kirk to every single church in America. And folks, I got to tell you, I don't know about you. I don't want anything to do with that version of Turning Point USA. We don't need Turning Point USA to get revival in our church. We've already got Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to get revival in our church.
Amen.
In these last days, when you don't know what to think and you don't know what's true, you better get your butt in a Bible-believing church that teaches you the truth and warns you about deception and holds you accountable till Jesus comes and takes you home. Turning Point USA is not your church. Your church is right here. No podcast is your church. Your church is right here. Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly are not your church. Your church is right here. Even in these last days, especially in these last days, God still has something that'll save you from deception and save people's souls. It's called the local church. That's plan A. There is no plan B. So where is Fox River Church right now? Where are we? And remember again, Fox River is not a building. Fox River is a congregation of people. We're a body of believers all connected. So where we are all depends on where you are. Where are you right now with Jesus Christ? And listen to me, you better know. Because in these last days, I got to tell you, God is drawing a line. He's drawing a line through countries. He's drawing a line through communities. He's drawing a line through governments. He's drawing a line through families. And he especially in these last days is drawing a line through the church. A line of truth and righteousness right down the middle. And more than anything else right now, 5 seconds to midnight, with everything hanging in the balance, you have got to know what side of the line you are on. Who is on the Lord's side? Where are we? Where are you? Who is on the Lord's side? You're going to live to please God. You're going to live to please man. You're going to live for Jesus. You're going to live for the world. Kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil? Is it going to be good or is it going to be evil? Is it going to be truth or false teaching? Who is on the Lord's side? Which side of the line are you on? Now, there's people in this church right now. You think you're on God's side, but you're not because you're not saved. You're still in rebellion against the Lord. Today, the nanosecond this service is over, you need to get out of your seat. You need to come to the front of this church and pray to receive Christ and get saved. There's Christians in this room right now. You think you're on the Lord's side. You are nowhere near where you should be with Jesus. You are not in a good place with the Lord, and you know it. The nanosecond this service is over, you need to get up to the front of this church. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. But if you are here today and you're listening to this sermon and you are on the Lord's side, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up right where you're at. You stand in the presence of God in here so you can stand in the presence of man out there. Who is on the Lord's side? Who in this room right now is going to say, Kevin, for as much gas as God has given me in the tank, for as much life as I have left, I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to speak up for Jesus Christ. I want to be sharing the gospel. I want to be living for Him. I want to make these last days count, the most incredible time of my life. I want to lift up Jesus. I want to speak the name of Jesus. I want to speak the name of Jesus so I can see miracles done and I can see people saved. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.